Amen, amen, amen. Man, put your hands together if you're glad to be here this morning. Amen. That really is our prayer today, that Jesus would be the center of our lives in every way. Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask you to move in our hearts, to challenge us and inspire us in ways that we have never been inspired and challenged before. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we pray these things in the name of the one who gives us life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we welcome you this morning. Great to see you today. You know, the eyes of the track and field world were focused on a race in 1954 that will never be forgotten. It was a man by the name of Roger Bannister that was running, and Bannister was the very first person to ever run a mile in under 4 minutes. It was an amazing feat. Many people thought it was not humanly possible, but he ran the first sub-4-minute mile, and then he was facing an opponent named John Landy, who was only the second person to run a sub-4-minute mile and was the current world record holder. I mean, this was an epic showdown that track and field fans just dreamed about. Landy, Bannister, the only two men in the history of the world to run under 4 minutes, are going to go head-to-head. Landy takes an early lead, and all the way through the second, the third lap, he's ahead by about 10 yards. Even coming into the last straight of the fourth lap, the final lap, he's ahead. But Landy makes a critical mistake. When he hears the footsteps of Bannister coming up behind him, he turns and looks over his shoulder. By the way, that's one of the cardinal sins of running. You never look back. It twists your weight, your focus. And in the instant that he turned around and looked over his left shoulder, Bannister went right past him, winning the race by 1/8 of a second. And both men agreed shortly after the race that had Landy not looked over his shoulder, he probably would have won. You know, I believe that's a great picture of the Christian life of faith. If we don't keep our eyes on the prize, on the finish line ahead of us, we will be easily distracted. And today, God wants us to understand one thing today, and that is that we have to keep our eyes on Jesus if we're going to succeed spiritually. Man, you want to have a great marriage today? Keep your eyes on Jesus. You want to have your finances be blessed and be in order? Keep your eyes on Jesus. You want to have a life that's rewarding and fulfilling? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It was with all that in mind that the author of the book of Hebrews wrote these words, Hebrews chapter 12, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now, I love this passage so much because as a middle school, high school, and even college student, I loved running. I ran track, I ran cross country, loved running, and so I just love this passage. When the Bible speaks of the Christian life being compared to a race, I get that. I love that. And what a great metaphor, what a great image for us to really understand what it is to run the race before us with perseverance, the one that God has given to us. And the only way we can succeed spiritually is by keeping our eyes on the prize, on the finish line, which is Jesus Christ. But this is very difficult. In fact, everywhere we turn, there are so many things to distract us. If we look beside us, we will compare ourselves to other people. And listen, if we ever get caught into the trap of living a life in comparison to other people, we will either be prideful because we think our life is better, or we'll become jealous because we'll see people that have something that we want. But you can't run the race with success if you're looking over to the side. You can't run the race before you with success if you're looking over your shoulder, looking at your past, looking at failures, looking at struggles, looking at who you used to be. You can't even win the race that's set before you if you look down, because if you only look at yourself rather than looking at Jesus, your eyes will not be finished or be focused on the finish line. So the question this morning is, how can we keep our eyes focused on Jesus? I love this example from the Gospels. Simon Peter is walking on the water, and as long as he's looking at Jesus, he's walking on the water. The disciples are freaking out. Man, this is awesome. Simon Peter, he's walking on the water with Jesus. Whoa. But what happened? Simon took his eyes off of Jesus, and what was he looking at? He was looking at the size of the waves. He was looking at the intensity of the wind, and when he began to divert his attention away from Jesus and to the wind and the waves, what happened? He began to sink, and the same is true in our lives. We have to stay focused on Jesus. He is the focus. He is the center of our lives. How do we do this? The writer of the Hebrews gives us three challenges, three exhortations this morning. The first thing we have to do is we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not our baggage. Keep our eyes on Jesus, not our baggage. Therefore, we also are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance that has been set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. And I love this passage because it references the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Whenever we see a therefore, we always go back and we ask ourselves the question, well, what is it there for? And Hebrews chapter 11 is the long list of the men and women of faith from the Old Testament. And Hebrews 11 gives us an example after example after example, people to look at who exemplified God as the center of their lives. And the scripture challenges us by saying that these were witnesses. These now are spectators in the crowd that are cheering us on. And I love this because the grandstands are filled with witnesses, not just with spectators. In fact, these were not just folks showing up. They were not just people that gave an occasional applaud. These were people that have been in the trenches, the people that had put their neck and their lives on the line, people that had given all that they had to serve the Lord. And the Bible says now they are the examples that go before us. They are the cloud of witnesses. They are there as an example before us. And you know, when you go to most football games, you watch world-class athletes, don't you? I mean, you watch some of the fastest, some of the strongest human beings on the planet that are playing. But most of the people in the stands are out of shape, right? I mean, most of the people, man, you got beer bellies, and I mean, you know, it's amazing. But that is not who makes up the grandstands of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. These were witnesses. These were martyrs. These were people that lived faithful lives that we could be inspired by. And when we continue to read the chapter, we see that it is not so much that these individuals are watching us, but that we are to be watching them. We're to be inspired by their example. It's kind of like playing football before a crowd of Heisman Trophy candidates. It's kind of like running the race of faith with some Olympic medalist watching our performance. And we're inspired by it. The Bible tells us about Abraham who believed God. God told him he was going to have a child. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but Hebrews 11 talks about it. God said, you're going to have a child, Abraham. And Abraham said, I'm 100 years old. It's not possible. And God said, you just wait. And by faith, Abraham had the son of promise, Isaac. I just imagine jogging along the path that God has set before us, seeing the example of Abraham and being inspired by his faithfulness in spite of his own age. And then we jog a little further and we see Noah. And God told Noah to build this massive ark, but interestingly enough, it had never rained in the history of the world when God told Noah to build an ark. Don't you know that some of Noah's neighbors thought he was a little bit crazy? Don't you know that the Homeowners Association was going nuts when Noah was building the ark there, you know, in his backyard, and he was faithful, and he built that ark for so many years. We can be inspired by the example of Gideon. If we jog a little further, we see the man that defeated the Midianites, several hundred thousand of them, by the way, with an army of 300. He was a man that didn't let odds intimidate him. He let his faith guide him and direct him. And we see the faithfulness of Rahab and Joshua. And all through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we see example after example after example. And listen, when you're in the race of faith, you need some examples to look to keep you focused. Because if we're not looking at the examples that have been set before us, we will look at our own baggage. Now, athletes in the ancient world ran races in the nude. Did you know that? They went Adam and Eve style without the fig leaves, okay? And they competed in the nude. Now, Olympic athletes don't wear a lot more than that now. You know, if you've seen those bodysuits, you know what I'm talking about. But as to not be encumbered, in fact, when I was in college, I took a class on this. We talked about ancient athletics. And we had to film a video of this. And thank goodness I did have some good Christian guys in the video. So we filmed everything from the waist up and the kneecaps down. And it worked out really well. It was actually a pretty good video. But athletes in the ancient world, they competed in the nude. Why? As to not be encumbered. And the author of Hebrews says there are two things that will encumber us. They will prevent our performance. They keep us from running with endurance. That is sins and weights. Sins and weights. And if we're not careful, those sins and weights will weigh us down. We used to live in Austin, Texas, right? Just north of the University of Texas campus. And, you know, it's always interesting to live in a university-type environment. There's kind of an aroma in the air, kind of an environment that's a little different, you know what I'm saying, from the rest of the world. And we had this streaker in our neighborhood. He was called the Hyde Park Streaker, and we lived in the Hyde Park neighborhood. And rumor had it that this guy would only wear his Nike Airs, man. I mean, the guy didn't even wear socks, okay? He was the Hyde Park Streaker. And one of our church members one time saw the Hyde Park Streaker. She was totally terrified, you know? I never saw the Hyde Park Streaker, but rumor has it the guy was really, really fast. And I would imagine that if you were running, if you were streaking, that you would be able to run with great perseverance, right? I mean, great intensity. And that's what the Bible is saying to us today, that the race of faith should be one that is unencumbered. You wouldn't go and run a 10K in a ski bib, right? You wouldn't line up and run a marathon in cowboy boots. Why? Because it would be difficult, right? That would be silly to do that. And yet many times in the Christian life, we run with weights around us. And notice what the Bible says here. Let us put aside the weights and sins that so easily encumber us. My best friend from high school sent me a text message this week. And he sent me a picture of me as a high school cross-country runner. Okay, you guys got to check this out. I almost didn't show you this picture. By the way, I'm the one on the left, okay, if you didn't know. And I almost didn't show this picture because I didn't want any women to swoon over my biceps there. As a high school kid, but man, I was skinny, wasn't I? Dang, man, you forget how skinny you were in high school. Doesn't all work that way anymore, but when you're that skinny, you can run. You don't have anything holding you back, man. And, you know, you're just unencumbered. I could run forever. But, you know, a lot of times when sin is entangling us, it's kind of like trying to run in a sumo suit. Have you guys ever put one of those sumo suits on? You know what I'm talking about? The sumo suit is a lot of fun, man, to play around with your friends and to wrestle. But you want to try and live life with something like that on? You want to go to the office with that on? You want to try and get on an airplane? For crying out loud, you'd have to buy 3 seats, you know, just to get on. Could you imagine going to bed like that, or going to breakfast, or going to the movies? And it would be uncomfortable. But a lot of times, our spiritual life, we're trying to run the race of faith in a suit like that because there are things that encumber us. And And the Bible mentions, first of all, our sins. This could be so many different things. Sin is anything that displeases God. It might be having sexual relations outside of God's parameters. It could be worrying excessively. It could be having a spirit of unforgiveness. It could be an addiction. It could be so many different things. But when those things encumber us, it's difficult for us to run the race of faith before us and to keep our eyes on Jesus. And he goes on and he says, not just our sins, but also our weights. Our weights are things that are not sins, but they detract from our spiritual performance. So, for example, it's not a sin to go hunting, but if you go hunting every weekend and you never spend time with your family, that becomes a weight. If you watch 5 hours of TV a night, but you read your Bible 5 minutes a week, that's a weight. Weights are anything that slow us down, that prevent us from running the race of faith that is before us. And sometimes in the Christian life, one of the greatest weights can just be worrying about what people think about us. You know? Sometimes we can be more concerned about what people think about us than what God thinks about us. And that can be a weight into our lives. And so we're trying to run the race of faith, but we have weights and we have sins. And so the result is we don't feel close to God. We feel worn out. And we have doubts in our lives. And I wonder how many of us today could just think of either some weights or some sins that if you could strip those things off, if you could get out of the sumo wrestler suit, if you could just begin to streak, if you will, in your spiritual life, in the race that's set before you, how fast could you run? How focused could you be? What could you accomplish for the glory of God? Maybe this morning you need to just come and just maybe confess some things, make some things right before God, make some changes in your life to say, man, I want to strip everything out of my life that keeps me from running with endurance the race that is set before us. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, not our baggage. Could you imagine what it would be like to take your suitcase everywhere that you went? You had a big suitcase, you know, and you had to have that thing connected to you, try to get it into your car. You know, you had to take it to church. You took it out to eat and to parties on Friday night. That would get old, wouldn't it? Sometimes we're carrying the baggage. We're wearing the sumo suits. And God wants us to strip down and to run with endurance the race that he has put before us. But there's also a second thing, and that is if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will also not focus on the obstacles. Sometimes we focus on the size of the mountain before us. Notice this, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Look at this right here. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus is both the author and the perfecter. There's no person in here that has the exact same path. God is the one that designs the path of your life. You know, as a cross-country runner, there were certain courses I hated, and there were others that I loved, and it had to do with the degree of difficulty. I loved running on flat surfaces, you know? I loved grass. It's so much easier to run on grass and to run on something that's flat. When all of a sudden you throw in some mountains or some hills or some inclines, and then you have lots of dirt and little rocks and things like that. It's just difficult. But you know, as a cross country runner, I never had the privilege to design my own course. I would have loved that. When you run, you are assigned a course to run. Nobody gets to say, hey, can I cut that part out or can I take a little shortcut? I did get lost on a few cross country courses when I was in high school, but I never had the opportunity to pick the course. God is the author of the course of your life. That's what it means here when it says he's the author and perfecter. God designed the course of your life. But here's the great thing about this. Not only is God the author of your course, God is also the perfecter. What does that mean? That means that God is, he's laid out the course for us, but he is perfecting our faith along the way. Now, had God said, I'm going to be the author of your course, but I'm not going to be the perfecter. Here's the map. You know, just go ahead and run. Do the best you can, and I'll see you later at the finish line. That would be different. But God is in the trenches with us. God is training us. God is developing us. God is encouraging us. God is building us up as runners. He is teaching us endurance. And when I think about this word perfecter, I think about the word coach. You know, what does a coach do? A coach is trying to get maximum performance from his runners. He's training you. He's developing you. He's building you up. He's helping you become more confident as a runner. A coach is trying to maximize your performance. Jesus is the developer of the course, but he is also in the course with us. And listen, that's why we go through hardship. That's why we go through difficulty. That's why we have to run up some mountains sometimes. That's why sometimes life is filled with inclines. The Boston Marathon is a great example of this. There's a huge hill about mile 18 or 19 called Heartbreak Hill. It's the steepest incline of the entire course. And by about mile 18 or 19, your muscles are totally, completely starved of oxygen. And most of the runners that quit the Boston Marathon quit on Heartbreak Hill because it is so grueling. Had it been at the beginning of the race, it might not have been as intense, but it's this massive hill, and it's so late in the race that most runners don't know how to engage the hill. It's a massive obstacle, and it takes every bit of strength and intensity to accomplish it. But there are heartbreak hills in our lives. And there, unfortunately, we don't get to run on level grade. We have problems. We have difficulties. And at times, we face heartbreak hill in our own spiritual journey. A daughter becomes pregnant out of wedlock. A loved one dies. We are unemployed. Our relationship ends. We have an emotional breakdown. There's difficulties. And sometimes those heartbreak hill moments cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus and to focus on the obstacle. But when we are tempted to do that, we need to remember that Jesus is both the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's why we trust him. That's why we worship him. And God does not show us precisely what's going on or why, but he challenges us to trust him in the moments that we don't understand. And that's how we keep running. We keep running that course that has been set before us because it's not about the obstacles. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not just looking away from those obstacles, but also remembering that it's not about ourselves. Sometimes we think about the race of faith, the journey that's before us, and we think, man, it's all about what I can do. But the scripture tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus, not ourselves. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. And that's the goal of the Christian journey, is that we can stay encouraged, that we can not grow weary and lose heart. Now, why was Jesus joyful? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Was it that Jesus thought, oh, I'm going to get crucified? Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun, you know? Woo! No, that wasn't it. The reason that Jesus had the joy that was set before him is because he knew the spiritual outcome of enduring the cross. It wasn't because being crucified was pleasurable. He knew that humanity was going to have the opportunity to be reconciled to God. He knew that you and I were going to have the gift of salvation offered to us through his death and his resurrection. And that brought joy into the heart of Jesus. It was the joy set before Jesus, but now he is the joy that is set before us. He's the joy that's set before us. And it says also that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Now, why did Jesus sit down at the right hand of God? The right hand is the place of honor. Nobody sits at the right hand that's not being honored. Jesus is being honored. But why is he sitting down? Because our salvation was finished at the cross and the resurrection. There was nothing else for Jesus to do. And now by faith in him, we can have God's forgiveness and eternal life. Now here's where a lot of the confusion comes. A lot of people think that the journey of faith, that running this race that is set before us, is all about our performance. If I run a good time, God loves me. If I want to start walking at Heartbreak Hill, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. It's all about what I can do and not what God can do in and through me. And listen, if you're running the race of faith under the burden of it's all about me and all about my performance, you're going to be frustrated spiritually. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be mad at yourself. You're going to find yourself repeating over and over and over again those same feelings of frustration. But listen, the reason that we can have joy, the reason we can have endurance, is because Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And a lot of times the way that we see the gospel is that Jesus kind of paid the down payment, you know, when he died on the cross and rose from the grave. But the way that we keep our salvation, the way we keep our relationship with God, is by making those monthly payments, you know? And we're like, oh God, thanks for the down payment, you know, but now it's all up to me. But if we live that way, we'll always be frustrated. The reason that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God is because what Christ has done finished it all. And so now we have the privilege, the honor of running the race that is set before us, not because we're somehow trying to impress God or trying to earn our way into heaven or trying to work off all the things in our past where we failed. We're running the race that's set before us out of gratitude and thanksgiving to God for what he has already done. So we cannot look at ourselves. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Vanderlei Lima went to the Athens Olympics in 2004 to do something that had never been done before by his country. No one in Brazil had ever won an Olympic medal in the marathon. And this man said, I'm going to become the first to do so. These marathon runners were retracing the 2,500-year-old steps of Pheidippides, the original marathoner. And people were yelling in the streets. People were cheering. People were waving flags. But something amazing was about to happen as he ran this race and as he took an early lead. As he took that early lead and people were cheering him on, an eccentric fan ran out of the crowd and tackled him and ran him into the side of the race. Although Lima was ahead and he was destined for the gold medal, this incident caused him to be passed by two other runners. Lima got up after about 30 seconds of delay and finished the race. He did not win Olympic gold as he had anticipated, but he did win the bronze medal. And when asked about this occurrence after the race, he said this, I'm not going to cry about this incident. Although it broke my concentration, I managed to finish, and the bronze medal is such a great accomplishment for such a difficult race. I wonder how many of us have been tackled in the marathon of life, and now God is saying to you, it is time to get up and to keep running. Because listen, it's not just about how you start, but it's about how you finish. This man still won a medal, even in spite of this crazy fan getting in his way and tackling him and costing him 30 seconds in the race. Boy, I'm inspired today to keep running the race of faith. No matter what obstacles or what problems may be before us, God wants us to get up and to keep running and to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's just bow for a word of prayer this morning. Man, I want to pray for you in the race of faith. this morning. I want to pray for you. Would you just lift up your hand today if you'd say, Ryan, I need prayer. I need encouragement today. Somewhere along the journey of faith, man, I got tackled. I hit Heartbreak Hill. I got discouraged. I wanted to quit. I didn't feel like I had any more energy to keep running. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for every person this morning. Thank you right here on the front, in the middle, the back, the side. Thank you. Over here on the other side, thank you, in the front. Yeah, in the back, in the back, in the back. Thank you. Thank you. God, I pray for every person that's here today that you would fill our hearts with hope and that you would remind us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, not our sins, not our weights, not our adversities, not our problems, not our obstacles. God, it is all about you. And so I pray that this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would bring hope and encouragement to every person that's here this morning. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are still closed for just a moment, maybe you've never met the God of the marathon. Maybe you've never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, you want to ask him to come into your heart and to make you a brand new person. Would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Just say, Ryan, thank you, right over here. Yeah, in the back. Thank you. I want you guys to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, today, please forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what he did at the cross and the resurrection. I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what he did at the resurrection. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you and to run with you each day as I put my confidence and trust in you. And we pray this all in the wonderful name of the one who gives us life. Amen.